See, this is important. You're not going to, you think you're going to Virginia, but you're not going to Virginia. You're going to a place I'm going to prepare for you. Now, I don't want to get into a lot of the reasons why we think the natives died. There's so many speculations. Was it yellow fever? Some say that there's some boats had already landed there and some rats got off and now, you know, caused some problems. And they don't know. They don't have any idea. But 30,000 natives died, at least. There were 300 fighting men in Massachusetts. 300 fighting natives left. When they landed, all they found was empty villages and empty cornfields, and they would dig up some corn that had been left buried, you know, and they were able to get some corn that was buried, but they kept finding graves after grave, and even bones on the ground. They couldn't bury them all. 3 years before the pilgrims landed, whole towns depopulated, bones lying around. At the same exact time, that the natives are dying off, and again, for the reasons that we can stipulate or whatever, won't be stipulated here, but may be assumed, at the same exact time, a man named Robert Cushman, who would later be a pastor, him and John Carver negotiated the patent, what they call a patent, between them and the Virginia Company to go to Virginia and help establish Jamestown or that area. And so in 1620, after some problems, 3 years later, in 1620, July of 1620, the Mayflower and the Speedwell made a decision to go together, both of them with approximately 100 people each. The Speedwell left Death's Haven. It went to Southampton. And then on August 5th, they both set sail and the Speedwell was leaking. So they put into Dartmouth, worked on it for 10 days, thought it was okay, kept going, it leaked again. So the Speedwell was left behind. Some of the passengers went on to the Mayflower. And on September 6th, 1620, the Mayflower sailed, at least 2 months late. November 9th, 1620, they're north of the land authorized in their patent. Remember, the king says you can go to this land and help them. And they were north. When they were coming into the eastern shores, they were blown north. They couldn't make Virginia. And so on 11th of November, 1620, they landed in what we now call Cape Cod. A beautiful area for boats. It was absolutely brutal cold. They lost a couple people on the ship. By the time they got there, the Mayflower was leaking. They had no food, but they didn't have any natives to fight like Jamestown did. The natives ran from them. There was only one little skirmish, and it only lasted one day. And then they had relatively peace, but they didn't have it from the weather. It's said of the natives that one quote is, "Strangely, they have decreased by the hand of God. And it hath generally been observed that where the English come to settle, a divine hand makes way for them." They would have been wiped out, probably. Thomas Morton, "Natives near all dead of smallpox, so the Lord hath cleared our title to what we possess." John Winthrop, Massachusetts governor, "That the heathen people amongst whom we live, and whose land the Lord of our fathers hath given us for a frightful possession, have at sundry times been plotting mischievous devices against that part of the English Israel which is seated in these going down of the sun, no man that is an inhabitant of any considerable standing can be ignorant. It was plain to them that God had prepared the way, but with heavy turmoil. Half of these people would be dead through that first winter. Half of the people died of scurvy and some other diseases. In the spring, an English-speaking Indian showed up, and he helped them make peace with the surrounding small tribes that were left. And so it was clear that the Lord had made a way for Plymouth. Many died, but all of us die. The tale of two cities is this. 13 years earlier, Jamestown was founded by 104 people at first on three different ships. And then their anchorage was good. They had a warmer climate. They had good soil. But they had many problems with the natives. The Plymouth, the anchorage was good. The cold climate made them not take up farming, but take up fishing and trade and lumber. Jamestown went there on a patent from the Virginia Company for trade and expansion of the English commodities. The Plymouth people went to the United States, the colonies, to be free for their religion, in cause of their religion and their love for God. Jamestown experienced unwillingness. People didn't want to work. They were lazy. They didn't have survival skills. And in the year of about 2 or 3 years after they got there, was the winter of starving. When they first got there, they lost 2/3 of their people. After a couple years, 500 more people came, and they lost 440 of them in Jamestown. In 1622, they had the Indian Wars. They kept shipping people over. 3,600 people would be there within a couple years, but basically to fight a war, and most of those people died. In Plymouth, they had cooperation with the Indians at first. They were plagued with hunger and disease and the environment, but they had relative peace with the Indians at first. Jamestown was the official church of the Anglican England Church. Plymouth was the church of the Pilgrims, dissenters from the Church of England, established the Congregational Church. In Jamestown, they had the first representative legislature out of England. In Plymouth, they had the Mayflower Compact. Really, the precursor to our Constitution, if you will, that the people were going to be governed of themselves, and all took an agreement that they would look out for each other, that there would be a righteous government. In Jamestown, some 12 years after they got there, they had a first Thanksgiving Day. In Plymouth, they had their first Thanksgiving 1 year after getting there. They had a great beginning. More ships would come. More people would come. The problem is that when they established that colony, now traders wanted to take up the fur trade and, in fact, even start slave trading. And within 50 years, I think it's 50 years, within 50 years, one of the governors came over from England and landed at Plymouth and became governor at Plymouth. and started selling Indian slaves. It only takes the world to mess things up. I mean, don't we have enough problems of our own? We are destined to the grave and destined for all those things. We don't need to take on the woes of the world. We've got our own problems. We've got our own things. We need to abide by the compass. And once we take part in the worldly things, those heavenly things get buried. It's been a good ride. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to get to this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go. What did he obey? He obeyed the map. What do you obey? The 55 mile per hour sign on the road? Yes. But that's secondary. To live in this world, we have to obey the map. He was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham, we're giving you all of this land, as far as the eye can see and further. It's from the sea to the Euphrates to the sea, as far as south as you can see to the Red Sea. But you're going to live in a tent. I'm the designer and the builder, God would say, but you're going to live in a tent. Isn't that where we're at? Paul calls this a tent. And it groans. We are on the Mayflower. We have problems behind and problems ahead. We have a leaky boat. We're running out of food. We have very little power. The winds are against us. We're probably not going to land where we thought we should. Physically. But spiritually, you have a city, and it's not Jamestown. It is not the earthly city. It's not a city where somebody's going to go and build the new Babylon. We're going to leave that behind. We're going to the new Jerusalem with the map and the compass that the Lord has given us. By faith, there was a woman on the ship. Did you know, by the way, that three women were pregnant on the Mayflower coming over? What a ride. Sarah wasn't pregnant for a while, but then she conceived and she laughed. Remember that? She laughed because this is weird. Because this is spiritual. That's why it's weird. Even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Think of this. By the end of that first year, 50 of them were dead. And several would die afterwards. Some of the leaders, Robert Cushman, died before he was 50 years old. He wrote, he penned and spoke the first sermon there. And then he wrote a book about what had happened there. And he took it back to London and 3 years later died. Then, oh man, he was a good guy. He was a very good man. He was one of the guys who got the patent to go. Robert Cushman, why would you take him before he was 50? Why would you take Stephen before you would Paul? It's back to that old strange question. We don't know where we're going on this planet. Because we're in a tent and this earth is not our home. We are just a passing through. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles. There's the third use of pilgrims in the English translation. The only three I could find. Peter and here. In the New Testament. They were pilgrims on the earth. You and I are pilgrims on the earth. We cannot call this our home. If we are looking to success here and stay here and bury our treasures here, we are going to be sore disappointed. Hebrews 11:14, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Some people did return. Some people got on the next ship that came over, especially in Jamestown. But even in Plymouth, people said, I've had enough. And they would leave. I'm going to return. I heard Jack Hibbs talking the other day about Hebrews chapter 6, about people returning. They taste of the heavenly gift. They were never saved in the first place, but they tasted and said, I don't want any part of it. It's too hard. But listen, folks, the Lord has cleared the land of natives. The Lord has opened the way for you. You must struggle, Hebrews says, but not to the point of shedding blood. Hebrews says, we're going to struggle, but that's faith. And we need a ship and a compass to get us through. The wind of the Spirit to blow our sails in the right direction. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Folks, that's one of the most encouraging verses in the Word for you. Because, see, you and I are on this little ship, and we look in the mirror, or we go home, or we live with our wives and our kids, and they, sometimes especially the kids, will tell you who you really are. You're not all that, and then some. And we go, I know. And I wake up the next morning, remember, I know that. And so the Lord is mad at me. And he's angry, and he doesn't like me. He is not ashamed of you. He is proud of you. That through your willingness, you would take on the compass, the Holy Spirit. And the guide. That would propel you. As the Bible says, it is his will to do in you. Praise the Lord. We can work with that. I mean, we can gather and work with that. This little body of Plymouth pilgrims. We can work with that. We're going to get discouraged, especially as we get older. We're going to be discouraged. But what choice do you have? We're going to Plymouth. We're going to the new Zion. You just stay in the boat. You be encouraged that God is blowing his wind, not our sails. He is blowing. Because of the extraordinary spiritual connection they had, this is written in one of the books. Because of the extraordinary spiritual connection they had, developed as exiles in Leiden before they went, and even before, they were prepared for whatever lay ahead. It is not with us as with other men, they confidently insisted. Whom small things can discourage or small discontentments cause to wish themselves home again? To return to where we went? Or as one of their number, a 30-year-old corduroy worker named William Bradford later wrote, they knew they were pilgrims. They knew. They got on that ship, pregnant women, small families. And they knew. They weren't governors. They weren't anything. They were citizens of heaven. And they got on that ship. And they knew that they were pilgrims going to a special place. Lastly, Philippians 3:20, their minds are set on earthly things. Jamestown. That city is set their minds on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there. The Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, though the sails are not working for you, the wind is against you, you're running aground on some shoals, you lose some people along the way, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I have set an alarm clock on my phone at 3 p.m. every day to give thanks to the Lord. If I'm out of earshot of it, most of the time I look, oh, I missed it. But that phone is with me and it goes off and I try to give thanks because my flesh doesn't want anything to do with it. I'd rather be doing something else maybe or whatever. We need to be reminded to give thanks. And we should be giving thanks no matter how our bones feel, no matter who we lose, no matter if I'm facing death, I know the city that I am going to. My sails are set by none other than the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. We can't even be encouraged by that million-man march yesterday, which I don't know how many people showed up. We like that kind of stuff. We love America. We hope things work out for us. But this is not our city. This is not our home. We're just a passing through. Lord, we praise you, Lord, and we worship you. We are concerned. We are foreigners. It scares us sometimes. We see arrows flying. We don't see enough food. We don't see enough friends. We see too many enemies. But Lord God, Lord Jesus, as commander of the army of the host of heaven, we are under your care. We are unafraid. We may get concerned, but we are unafraid. We stand here as a small body under the Mayflower compact, if you will, to love and adore you and to watch out for each other, to be in your care until we reach those heavenly shores. We look forward to that day. Until then, Lord, I pray that you give us each heart a picture of heaven. Give us a picture of what is coming in our hearts through your word. You tell us of that heavenly place, Lord, and you tell us of that heavenly time where you will come back yourself and get us. We look forward to that day, and we worship you in your holy and precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.